Hi there, welcome along to The Sweet Spot. It's Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer with the weekly golf show from The Racing Post, looking back on what happened last weekend and then looking ahead to two super-duper tournaments this week. I'll try and spin the intro out as much as I can, because as you'll see from Steve's jaws, the idiot has just decided to pop a Twix into his mouth seconds before we started recording. Not a wise move. Also not a wise move, Steve, the fashion. Me and you have both gone with a claret hoodie. What are the chances of that? But anyway, we will press on. Got loads to look forward to. The biggest crowds in golf assemble in Arizona for the Phoenix Open. And then if you like course and current form, we've got them both in one, because the European Tour stays in Ras El Khaimah on exactly the same course. We'll see whether it'll be the same story this week or something different happens. First of all, though, Steve, what a topsy-turvy week last week. Just brilliant action, wasn't it? I mean, all three tournaments have so fluctuating right throughout the week. I thought it was really tremendous, really spellbinding. I enjoyed it no end. And, of course, the highlight being Harold Varner III's putt to win the Saudi International. I mean, I've never seen a putt like it. I mean, even just a normal nondescript man. You know, sometimes when they're sort of on a Saturday, they'll throw back to someone who's three over and they'll say, you know, it's a Jonathan Sue. No, what's he called? Jonathan Sir or something. Yeah, they'll go back to someone who's not a player in the tournament. He's 15 off it and he's got a massive putt and you know it will go in. This was even better than any of those. It was just extraordinary, wasn't it?
Yeah. You've pinpointed the highlight of the week there, because everyone loves Harold Varner, don't they? He's a very popular lad and there's a lot of negative headlines going into the Saudi International last week. And yeah, you couldn't have picked a better man to lift the mood there. A snaking putt from off the green. And yeah, we were on the wrong nappy factor last week. I think you're muted there, by the way, Bruce. We were on the wrong nappy factor last week.
And I muted myself because I was coughing, Steve.
Oh, did you?
Don't,
oh, sorry.
Don't give the game away. My sort of telephonic skills there, you know.
I assumed you had gone forever there if I didn't.
No.
Very, very, very talented broadcaster you are.
Oh, thanks.
Harold Varner is a nappy factor. I know we were discussing last week for Johannes Veerman, who was going well for a long way in the Raz. Harold Varner became a father in October to Liam Varner. He must be an Oasis fan, I guess. And he seemed inspired. And yeah, what a celebration, you know, jumping into his caddy
there. It was brilliant, wasn't it? And you had to take your hat off to Bubba Watson. I'm not always a massive Bubba fan, because I think he always glares at his caddy too much every time he misses a putt. But Bubba thought he had the tournament in the bag. He was trading very short on Betfair. And he was the first one to go down and congratulate him. I thought it was a beautiful moment. And then there was a nice picture on social media of them having dinner together in the evening. So I thought it was lovely.
Oh, well, that is nice. Yeah, they can certainly both afford a good dinner after that one. Mm. I was pleased for Harold Varner, but we didn't really strike a blow in that one. Our lot was just sort of floating around in sort of 30th place. That was a disappointing tournament.
And then, Steve, if we go across back to Ras El Khaimah, I mean, it was a weekend where the imbeciles who love momentum had egg on their face, because everyone thought Bubba had the momentum in Saudi, and then they thought Jordan Smith had the momentum in Ras El Khaimah, because he came and overtook Nicolai Hoggard, who threw away a massive lead. But then Hoggard, he's not the fast bowler from Yorkshire, is he? He came back in massively impressive style. I mean, these two kids are the real deal, aren't they? He's so good.
Yeah, what a player. Yeah, I think it's Hoggard, and Nicolai Hoggard, one of our commentators. We're getting a lot of comments everywhere. One of our commentators said it's Nicolai Hoggard.
Hoy, that's what it is, because if you Hoy. Know the Tottenham players, Højbjerg, isn't it? I think it's the same kind of construction to hit to the first part of his sermon. So perhaps it's Hoggard. But anyway.
Hoggard, yeah. What a player. Yeah, explosive talent. You know, clearly a champion's mentality. As you say, lost his lead, went two shots behind, and then delivered a magnificent eagle, his second eagle of the round, romped home by four shots in the end. That's two wins by the age of 20. He's one behind his twin brother, but you know, probably not for long. Yeah, they're amazing.
So they're not 21 yet, Stephen. Between them, they've won five tour events. That's extraordinary. Yeah. I mean, surely we just back them blind every week now, don't we?
Put you off. I mean, Rasmus was thumping his drives last week. You know, traditionally Nicolai's been the longer driver. Last week, Rasmus Hoggard topped the driving distance stats. Rasmus Hoggard seems to have found some extra yardage. He was more than 30 yards longer than the field average last week, Rasmus Hoggard. Nicolai finished third in that statistic and took the trophy.
They're amazing. So we had 66-1 Varner, we had 33-1 Hoggard, and then in America, Tom Hoagie at 66-1 one at Pebble Beach. Good win for him. I must admit, Steve, lately I've been getting really I get confused all the time. I'm getting old, getting senile. But you've got Homer, Haggy, and Hoagie. I'm sort of finding it all a bit, and with the Højgaards as well, I'm finding it all a bit H and G. It's all a bit confusing. Yeah. But Tom Hoagie, rather like Luke List before, maiden win, got it done. So, nice effort. Was he findable?
He played well in the Amex, didn't he? Yeah, he was runner up there a couple of weeks prior. So yeah, he was findable. I'm not a big Hoagie fan. I mean, you mentioned Luke List. The similarities are there. They both need about 200 odd starts to get off the mark there. Hoagie's a 32-year-old. You know, he's taken him ages to get going, but he took his chance really well, didn't he? I thought it was amusing the way, yeah, the commentary team in America just gifted Jordan Spieth the trophy from a long way out, didn't they? Yeah, all this talk about Jordan Spieth's virtually won, and yeah, they obviously haven't watched many golf tournaments because yeah, they seem stunned that Jordan didn't win that, and Spieth was poor over those closing holes. He was one over par
for the last. He's not the machine he was by any means, is he? It's all very well in getting in contention. He may well win very soon, but you can't. He's not like sometimes one of those elite players getting contention. They just go and get it done, don't they? He's not the same player anymore, is he?
I make you right. Yeah, he's one over par for the last five holes. You have to note that two of those holes are par fives. I don't like that new pre-shot routine, you know, the extravagant backswing before it starts. You know, that suggests that you know, he's not comfortable with his swing for me. So, Hoagie took his chance well. I don't think he's a great golfer. I wouldn't get too carried away. His approach play is normally pretty good, and that helped him last week. I don't see him winning big tournaments. That was a rubbish tournament last week. You had Daniel Berger and Will Zalatoris pulled out before it started. There wasn't a lot to beat last week. Patrick Cantlay should be ashamed of himself, and I don't think Tom Hoagie will win much more.
We're getting quite excited on Putnam. He gave you a good run for his money, but just couldn't quite get it done in the end, could he? But like I say, if you backed him at 80 or 90 to 1, you had an enjoyable week apart from the last sort of hour, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, Sunday night really showed the challenges that the golf punter has. Putnam tied for the lead going into the final round. Patrick Cantlay only one shot behind. Both birdied the first hole. Cantlay was three under par through the first six holes, everything going rosy. And then, you know, 2 hours later, I'm actively cheering against Patrick Cantlay because I want him to drop out the places so Andrew Putnam can get in the places. Because I backed him with bet 365, five places. So Cantlay birdied the 72nd hole to knock Putnam out of the top five. Putnam then narrowly missed his birdie part of the last. This is the game we're in. It's a peculiar game. It's not for the faint-hearted. We're trying to stay serene, aren't we? Sometimes golf betting, yeah, it's not a natural bedfellow with serenity, is it? I think that's a fair comment. But yeah, you've got to try and work through it. They're not natural bedfellows.
I reckon the key is not to have too much on, Steve. If you have too much on, it's going to stress you out. If you don't, it won't.
Don't get your hopes up is the other one. No. Because my wife's always banging on about don't get your hopes up.
Hopelessly optimistic. You're ludicrously optimistic. I mean, the amount of times I'll say to you, Christ, a lot of golf to be played, and you're like, no, he's won it. It's all sorted now. You know, you're like, how can you possibly say that? You've been watching this for all your life, and you know what happens, and yet you just get so confident, don't you? You must manage your expectations.
It's just the prolonged nature of it as well. You have that hope injected in your vent for 4 days. That's 100 hours of hope going in, and then it can come down to the final seconds. Yeah. Nearly midnight on Sunday night, the final seconds of that tournament decided whether I was going to win or lose that week. So, yeah, but yeah, we're positive, we're serene.
Good lad. Any other golfers catch your eye, either in a positive or negative fashion last week?
It's a blooming good question. I mean, Johannes Veerman. Played well for a long way until the double bogey on Sunday. Open with a double bogey on Sunday set the tone for that disappointing Sunday that we had. Johannes Veerman hasn't played much, and he looks good when he does play. I think when he comes back from his parenting duties, he'd be one to follow.
Okay, well, as we always love to say on the show, we like to get your comments on the YouTube feed. So if you hit that thumbs up and then tell us who you fancy. Last week, Steve Reardon wins the best tip of the week. He put Adrianos up each way at 80, so he got the full place there. So well done to him. I think someone else came quite close, but no one actually nailed any of the big winners. So keep trying, keep letting us know who you fancy in the comment section. We'll move on to this week. Have you got something else?
While we're on the commentors section, I must thank Mick Lenihan. Mick Lenihan gave me some gout advice, reminded me that I need to get on the cherries, and I had some good cherries. I'm getting stuck into the cherries.
Oh, really? Cherries are good for gout, are they?
We both look like cherries today, actually, don't
we?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, they're really going to defeat the gout with these outfits. So, yeah.
They're a massively underrated fruit, aren't they, the cherries?
Yeah, I actually enjoyed eating them. Yeah, I actually enjoyed eating them. I only ate them for Dr. Mick's medical advice there, but they're quite nice, aren't they?
Are they doing anything for the gout?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, yeah.
Where does the gout affect you?
Left foot. Well, toes in my left foot and then my right knee. So, yeah, you end up sort of walking around like a penguin sort of thing.
Goodness, I don't fancy that. Yeah, I feel for you, Steve. My heart goes out to you.
Don't you worry, old son. Dr. Mick solved it for me.
Okay, fair enough. Right then, we look ahead to this week.
I think we should. We've got two attractive golf tournaments.
Okay, and you want to start with the what I would term the lesser one. It's the Ras Al Khaimah Classic, because you're such a stickler for chronology, aren't you? You want to go with the one that tees off first. So this one starts in the early hours of Thursday morning. It's the Ras Al Khaimah Classic. It's exactly the same venue as last week's tournament, and we've got a very similar field. Let's have a little look at the market. Nicolai Højgaard, 14-1. Jordan Smith, 16-1. So last week's 1 and 2 are 1 and 2 in the betting. Robert McIntyre's 25s. Along with Thomas Detry and Adrian Ous. Rasmus Højgaard is 28. I thought Rasmus Højgaard was playing in something today. Is there something called the Hero Challenge or something?
Yeah, there's a little knockabout pairs, 18-year-old pairs event. Yeah, rather than the pro-am, they're messing around with that. Yeah, the Højgaards are playing together.
Oh, okay, so they're both in action. Adrian Moronk is 28. Langask 33s and 35. Cabrero, Bello and others. So it's pretty much the same sort of field as last week, Steve. We'll see whether you think there'll be a similar outcome. How many selections have you got in this one?
Four.
Oh, that was feeble.
I do apologise. The Twix has really lodged itself in there, and I'm desperately trying to find a way to...
That was a ludicrous choice of pre-broadcast snack. I mean, chocolate is a massive no-no. It just sort of, it furs up your throat, and it makes you kind of, you know...
I thought I needed it for energy levels. Energy levels have been low since the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. So I thought I'd pop a Twix in before to provide that energy required for a podcast. And it's backfired spectacularly.
Are you still off the cola?
Yeah, I could murder one still. But yeah, I've done really well. I've done really well.
Good man. Yeah. Good man. No, water's much better. You can't go wrong with water. I must say, Steve, if I played with you and you hit a wayward tee shot and you shouted or you murmured four like that, I wouldn't have been impressed.
No, I apologise. I'll try my spunk back next week.
Okay, matey. Who's the headline selection?
Well, yeah, I suppose there's no point talking about it. The course was at the same one. Everyone knows about it. Is that the way you feel?
Well, you could give us a little reminder. No, I'll tell you what you should do. You should tell us anything you learned from watching the golf last week. Is there anything that surprised you or did you like it?
Yeah. I suppose there is, because we thought there were two drivable par fours and there's three, because you know these young bucks these days can propel it such distances. So I'd say there's three drivable par fours now, because we saw Nicolai Højgaard banging it on the first there. So you got 7,325 yards, four par fives, three reachable par fours for the big guns.
So, and we've got a week's worth of evidence now. So I suppose we should talk a bit more about that, because who is it suiting?
It is suiting powerhouses, aggressive powerhouses who drive the ball long way. And I mean, this is a gift, really. It's a gift given what we've seen.
Okay, right then. On we go with your headline selection.
Gift wrapped. And the headline selection is the aforementioned Nicolai Højgaard. I can't believe we're getting 14-1. I think he'd easily double up. I assumed he would be an unbackable price this week. I didn't think I'd be tipping Nicolai Højgaard. You know, he found his A game in such spectacular fashion last week. This tournament is weaker than last week's. Bernd Wiesberger's gone. Johannes Veerman's gone. Danny Willett's gone. What price should Højgaard be on a course that he demolished last week with a cold putter? It was 60th in the putting stats last week and won by four shots. Yeah, this is a ball striking colossus, only 20 years old, still improving, clearly capable of making a massive impact in the game. And there's no travel worries to worry about. Yeah, you know, when you're talking about a back-to-back victories, then normally they've got a big journey to go on. He can get himself freshened up nicely for the second one. I don't think he's going to rest on his laurels. Yeah, and another you can't get back-to-back wins. Yeah, you're going to rest. It's not going to happen. His world ranking is 67. You know, doors will open for him if he gets in the top 50 of the world rankings. He'll have the scent of Augusta in his nostrils now. You know, a Masters debut is there for him. If he wins again this week, he'd be on the, you know, banging with a great chance of a Masters debut. So I think he's gonna go for it again. I was expecting a single figure price this week. I couldn't believe I got a double figure price. I was really quite excited when I saw it. I thought the bookies would be running for cover. I mean, one firm opened up 18-1. It's like they spent last week holidaying in Mars. I mean, where does that price come from? I think there should be a massive gap between Hogard and Jordan Smith at the top of the betting, and there isn't.
Blimey, yeah, I can't argue that. I can't argue with any of them because I don't know as much about it as you, but certainly not with that one. It does seem a decent old price, doesn't it?
Who would you rather bet, 14-1 Hogard or 16-1 Smith?
Well, I'm not really anti-Smith. I'm just talking about within the context of just that individual price, 14s. Yeah, put it this way, if someone said, oh, can I have a tenner on Hogard at 14s with you? I'd be like, no, you can't. I don't want to lay that. Why would I want to risk that? No,
Yeah. I mean, you've got one that's like proven himself a champion early on and one who hasn't. I mean, Smith, I don't want to be anti anyone because, it's a tough mental game. But, Smith's temperament has to be questioned here. Yeah, the killer instinct was not there again on Sunday. He hit the front, horror shot on that par three. Yeah, I was thinking about this and I was thinking, who would I rather have as a mate? I'd rather be mates with Jordan Smith. Yeah, see, a really nice lad, isn't he? I'd rather be mates with him than Nicolai Hogard. Hogard's a cocky character. You can tell he's got that little arrogance in there. If you went into a bar with Nicolai Hogard, he'd swagger in, start chatting up the ladies. He'd be a real handful. Whereas Jordan Smith, respectful, nice guy. Much rather be mates with Jordan Smith, right?
One of our colleagues, Ash White, in the Bloodstock team, he's a really good mate of Jordan Smith's.
He is mates with Jordan
Smith. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and there you go. You're right. And he's not mates with Nicolai Hogard. What's that say?
That tells you a lot. I bet he enjoys being mates with Jordan
Smith.
He does.
Smith, but, he loves it.
But asking me how often does he back Jordan Smith? Because
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Well, that could be a bit of a tangent, couldn't it? But
he's known as I've known this for a while about Jordan Smith. He's a nervous character because I've got a mate, Johnny Welch, a very talented golfer himself. And he used to play against Jordan Smith at county level because he's a Bath lad, isn't he, Jordan Smith?
Somewhere down that way. Yeah.
And I've had a mate who's played for Dorset against him, and he always he fancied his chances in match play, beat him in match play, and their lives have obviously gone on different paths. And I feel for my mate because he watches Jordan Smith picking up these big checks, and my mate looks after disabled kids. Getting a scandalously low wage work looking after disabled kids. It must be hard for him to watch that. But he said to me back then, they all respected the ball striking ability of Jordan Smith, but the temperament was questionable. And I think that's panning out in the professional ranks.
Good insight. Okay, Nicolai Hogard is the headline. You've got three others. Who's the main danger, do you think?
Next best, broken record, I suppose, but it's pretty inevitable given the circumstances. He's going to go for Julian Brun again. We're on Julian Brun last week. He can get 50-1 this week. I'm keeping the faith. He did all right last week. You remember that stat we were talking about last week? He's now extended that. He's had a top 25 finish in his last 13 tournaments. A victory on the Challenge Tour in that run. He tied second in the Challenge Tour Grand Final in November. He finished 13th last week. 4 under par rounds. He seems to have settled really nicely on the DP World Tour. He turns 30 in April, and I think he's got a massive future. Yeah, keep the Brun in the oven. We could be enjoying some puddings on Sunday.
Who else are you tipping?
And again, we're keeping faith with both our Frenchmen from last week. Romain Langasque. This is the assignment.
Why don't we can just cut and paste last week's preview, can't we? Send the same page again with slightly different price box.
Yeah. Well, I'm expecting a more positive result for Langasque. He had a couple of disaster holes last week. The most damaging was a snowman at the third hole in round two. He was actually only 23 yards from the pin in 2 shots at a par 5 and made a snowman. Calamity from there, pitched into the water. But he made 7 birdies and 9 pars in that round. His second round was excellent, apart from the snowman. Missed the cut by a shot. He had one of those weeks where the putter wasn't cooperating, nothing dropped. But I'm not going to give up on the Langasque putter. The week before that, he was 14th in the Dubai Desert Classic putting stats. So he can putt well. Last week, he was the third best driver in the tournament, despite missing the cut. His driving's been fantastic. He finished 12th in Abu Dhabi, 18th in Dubai, 6th and 4th in his 2 Challenge Tour spins at Alhambra. Let's remain a Romain supporter.
Okay. Righty-ho. And finally, who have we got?
Finally, we've got gorgeous George Kutsia. Carefree character, likes his surfing, likes his Liverpool FC, likes enjoying himself off the course. I like to catch Gorgeous George when he's in a groove. He's no Vijay Singh. He doesn't like the practice ground, but he can't help but be in a groove at the moment because this is his 4th event on the spin. He was rusty in the 2 Rolex Series events. He struck his ball really well last week, though. 27th place in the RAS. He's got the game for Alhambra, a great desert record. In the past, he's contended in Qatar, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and much better fields than this one. He's won 5 European Tour titles. 70-1. Yeah, really lively outsider for me, George Couture.
Okay, let's get the prices of the other guys. So Hogard's 14s, Langaski's 33, Bruin is 15, 70 the other. One golfer I wanted to ask you about, Steve, it looks like he's making a bit of a resurgence after a horrible spell in the doldrums, is Hao Tung Lee.
Did he
enter calculations at all this week?
He didn't. No. I want to see a little bit more. I mean, he's wearing glasses now, isn't he? I mean, there's a couple of players that have popped up wearing glasses this year that have surprised me.
The glasses factor.
Yeah, I don't know why I find it so off-putting, but I just think that it can't be helpful. You know, I'm sure it is helpful.
It helps them to see better.
Yeah, but why haven't they had laser eye surgery or, you know, contact lenses or something? It just seems a bit cumbersome. Yeah, things can get trapped in there.
Who else has just suddenly turned up with glasses?
Guido Migliozzi.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, Migliozzi, this Italian stud, but it surprised me. It's off-putting. And Hao Tung Lee, his driver was all over the show for a while. I just need to see a little bit more.
What would you rather they wore, a visor or glasses? You don't like a visor player, do you?
I don't like a visor. I don't want to besmirch glasses wearers because I wore glasses for many a year. And
did you? Never seen you wear glasses.
Yeah. I had glasses for reading and whatnot. And then I got the laser eye surgery. So I just think, why can't Hao Tung Lee and Guido Migliozzi with fortunes in the bank have laser eye surgery? I guess there must be something wrong with those eyes. Therefore, I find it off-putting.
Okay, fair enough. Right then, let's move across to the Phoenix Open. Always a massive, massive event. Enormous crowds, except for the Sunday afternoon when everyone buggers off to watch the Super Bowl. I suppose we might get an early finish on the Sunday, Steve. They do that sometimes, don't they?
I hope so. I could do with one of them.
Mm. Well, won't you be watching the Super Bowl?
No, absolutely not. If it's Chicago Bears v. Miami Dolphins, I'll give it a go. Is it Chicago Bears v. Miami Dolphins?
No, it's not. It's the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Los Angeles Rams.
I don't know about that then.
No interest.
No, I won't be going for that. Have you got any big anti-post bets going on in any of those two?
Not at this stage, no. I should be checking out picks-wise, see what they fancy.
What is a Bengal? Is that a
Bengal's a tiger. You always used to do that, didn't you? You'd look at the nicknames and see who was superior there. And you'd certainly fancy a Bengal tiger to beat a poor ram, wouldn't you?
The ram would have no chance, would he? But unless it had massive horns, like the Bengal might attack and then a horn might go in.
I think you'd have to get lucky with the horn, because they're also quite curly, those horns. They're more for rutting than for piercing, I think, aren't they?
I was feeding a sheep on Sunday, actually.
Oh, at your mate's farm?
Sunday morning. No, I went to a public farm.
Petting farm.
Petting farm with the children, just to give them a little break from the golf. And we were feeding some sheep. And yeah, you're right, they're curly horns. I was really quite concerned when they were feeding pellets to these sheep.
Yeah.
And they're banging their heads through the fence. They're really going for it. But
really?
Yeah.
It's a bit scary, isn't it? I remember when we were young, we used to go swimming at the local municipal swimming pool. There used to be a sign saying no heavy petting, but I don't suppose you'd have that at the children's farm. They actually encourage petting. Don't they?
They do. No, these were hungry sheep. They were really going for it. But back the Bengals, because Bengals obviously are going to defeat Rams.
What was your favourite moment at the farm?
The wallabies, actually. There got little baby wallabies in there. It is exotic, yeah. And the proprietor, to be fair to him, was having to defend himself because it was a freezing cold day, wind whipping across Portland. And this poor fella's got people coming up sort of questioning why there's wallabies there and the little babies and they're coming out of the pouch. And he was making it clear that they come from Tasmania, I think he said. And he was claiming it was a colder climate than Portland generally. They like colder. Yeah, the wallabies are a different animal, quite literally, to the kangaroo.
Yeah. Right, Phoenix Open. Here's the market. John Rahm, 15-7. I've got to put my glasses on. I feel terrible wearing glasses.
Oh, here we go.
I might become a worse broadcaster, according to Steve. Right, 15-2, John Rahm. 12, Justin Thomas. 14, Patrick Cantlay. 18, Hideki Matsuyama. 18, Victor Hovland. 22, Jordan Spieth. 22, Schauffele. 25, Scheffler. 25, Berger. 33-1, Barr. In other words, a mustard lineup for a great tournament. Always brilliant fun, this. I do love it at the 16th. The mayhem of the 16th and then the unpredictability of the 17th. A brilliant, brilliant tournament. Should we do course lowdown first or selections?
I think we should do course lowdown first here. Yeah. TPC Scottsdale. Scottsdale, Arizona. 7,261 yards. Par 71, only three par fives. But yeah, welcoming track, generous fairways, lack of serious trouble. Something in the high teens under par will probably win this week. Windless skies, sunny and calm all week. You know, the thunder comes from the stands. You know, they're back to full capacity. We must You know, the COVID ruined it a little bit last year. You know, hardly anyone there. You know, back to full capacity.
Oh, lovely. How many tips have you got, Steve?
Two.
No way.
Yeah, two. Yeah, we got a 4-2 formation this week. Yeah, we've had a lot of players sent off.
Wow. You must be confident.
I just, yeah, I like the top of the market. You know, I could stretch it, but I'd be back in shorties. You know, I want about, yeah, these are my two favourites from a very well-respected market at the top there. Yeah.
Who's the headline tip, Steve?
The headline tip is Victor Hovland at 18-1. I think 18-1 is a remarkable price. You're talking about a player here that's won three of his last five tournaments. The second of those wins was against a top-class Hero World Challenge field. The third of those wins was a DP World Tour Rolex Series event. He's up to third in the world rankings as a result. Only one player in this field is higher than him in the world rankings, yet there's four names above him in the market for this. I assume this is down to his lack of course form. He's played only one previous Phoenix Open and he missed the cut, but you have to provide some context to that. It was at the start of 2020. He'd been a pro for about 8 months. He'd never won a main tour event. He was playing off a sponsor's invite. He was ranked 94th in the world. And he just trekked back from Dubai. The Dubai Desert Classic was a week before Phoenix in 2020. He was absolutely knackered for his Phoenix debut. And he missed a cut by one shot. 2 years later, totally different story. Four PGA Tour titles under his belt, if you include the Hero World Challenge. Two DP World Tour titles, stalking the top spot in the world rankings. Hovland's a different animal. And Scottsdale, I think, is a great fit for him. Yeah, we want to be backing attacking players who find lots of greens and regulation. That tends to be the formula for success here. You've got to be high up in the Greg stats. Did you see that commentator?
Yes. Yeah, I did see that. Yeah. Explain what Greg. That is in case anyone didn't see it.
Well, we were trying to make a distinguish between GER and GER, weren't we? Ground under repair, greens and regulation. Harry M has suggested that we call them Greg stats. So we will from now on. So, yeah, you've got to be high up in the Greg stats here.
Did he say why? Just greens in regulations.
Yeah, yes. And he likes going to Greg's on the way back from the golf course, apparently.
Yeah, no, I get that. Greg's is a good word for it, yeah.
It's great, isn't it, Greg? I like going to Greg's.
Yeah, not everything has to be an acronym. That should be, that should become a thing, shouldn't it? Greg's,
we'll go with that and we'll all be...
Because he's not the most chipper, is he, Højgaard, is it? Not Højgaard, Hovland. See, I told you I get confused with his H.
Yeah, no, he's not the most chipper, but yeah, he's a Greg's machine. And we'll be tucking in the sausage rolls on Sunday when he wins. Supreme ball striker. He's only played poorly once this year, and that was first up in Hawaii. And don't forget, there were big excuses for that performance. His clubs got lost in transit from Norway. They didn't arrive in just before he teed off in Hawaii. So dismal preparation for the Century Tournament champions. Disregard that tournament. You take that tournament out of the form figures. His form figures from his last four events: 1-1-4-1.
Goodness me.
There's your 18-1 chance.
Goodness me. Yeah. So, I mean, I like backing people who can prove that they can win tournaments. They're not flaky. And both Højgaard and Hovland, they're just winning machines, aren't they? I mean, it's brilliant in Dubai, wasn't he?
Cool dudes, aren't they? I mean, we're backing two absolute dudes there, aren't we?
Who would you rather be out of those two?
Victor Hovland, yeah. Victor Hovland is one of the happiest people in the world.
He's got a lovely way about him, hasn't he?
He's got a lovely way about him. Such wonderful mannerisms for what was he, 24? I mean, his parents must be so proud of him.
Yeah, and he's got a lovely taut face as well. I've got a horrible sort of elasticated, floppy, jowly face, but he's nice and sort of taut, isn't he? You know, very jealous of people with taut faces.
Yeah, he's got a lovely face. Yeah, it's probably no one I'd rather be, actually.
Oh, wow. That's nice. Yeah. Okay, so if Hovland is going to slip up, who's going to take full advantage, do you think?
Well, if Hovland does slip up, then don't worry, because Scottie Scheffler will pop in and provide a 28-1 winner for you. The world number 15, the best PGA Tour maiden on the planet. And I think it's worth noting, that five of the last six Phoenix Open champions were inside the top 20 of the world rankings at the time of their victory. You know, cream has been rising to the top in this event now. I don't know whether the intense atmosphere has something to do with that. You know, the best players can handle this. You know, you've got 200,000 spectators in there. Maybe the best players can handle that atmosphere better than the lesser lights. But if you apply the rule that you have to be inside the top 20 of the world rankings to win this, this becomes a 15-runner event. I think Hovland and Scheffler are the two best value of those 15. Scheffler made a great Ryder Cup debut last year, thrashed John Rahm in the Sunday singles. You must remember that. You don't remember that one? Ryder Cup Sunday. Oh, we were doing a watch-along, weren't we? You're probably a bit too embroiled in that, weren't you? But yeah, that any concerns about Scheffler's temperament ended at Whistling Straits when he destroyed Rahm in the Ryder Cup. And since the Ryder Cup, he's finished fourth at Mayakoba, second in the Houston Open, second again in the Hero World Challenge. He couldn't be knocking at the door any louder. You know, the hinges are coming off that door for Scheffler. And he started this year nicely, 25th in the Amex, 20th in the Farmers. And he's coming into a hugely suitable assignment. Scheffler made his Phoenix debut the same week as Hovland, and they shot identical scores. Both missed the cut by a shot. But these guys are not rookies anymore. They're class acts. Scheffler went back to Phoenix last year and finished seventh, only three shots behind the winner. And bear in mind that effort came after he had missed the cut in the Amex and the Farmers. So he arrived in poor form here last year, still impressed, this time in fine fettle. And I'm expecting fireworks.
Okay. And talking of those watch-alongs, we could have some interesting, exciting news for you soon. Watch this space. Big Johnny Rahm is the only single-figure golfer this week. Does he deserve to be, Steve?
Yeah, he deserves to be. I mean, he's
just
got
always contends, doesn't he?
Yes, yeah, he's got a great record in this event. Solid, winless, but solid. He lives in Scottsdale. It's a home game for him. I can't put you off, John Rahm. If I was going to have four, he would be one of my four. But, you know, he's been angry this year. Very angry. Does 200,000 spectators help that?
I think the return of the full crowds, I think they're going to be even more raucous, and it's Super Bowl later on, so loads of people are going to be there and they're all going to be bang up for it, and it's going to be a lot more sort of drinking and shenanigans. You're going to have young folk who've been let off the leash because, you know, they haven't been able to drink because of the COVID restrictions. I think it could actually boil over. I hope I'm wrong, but it could get really silly, couldn't it? And that's not going to suit a tinderbox temperament like Rahm's, is it?
Couldn't have put it any better. Yeah, I've nothing to add to that.
Okay, thanks, mate. Anyone else near on the fringes of being selected?
Hideki Matsuyama must be respected. Yeah, one in fine style at the start of the year. But yeah, he's based on good putting, wasn't it? Sort of freakish putting week. His ball striking has been hugely impressive. And there's a little leg niggle in the Farmers. I don't know if you noticed that. Yeah, he looked like he's carrying a little leg niggle. I know that was a couple of weeks ago. He's probably all right now. But yeah, he's a two-time champion. Yeah, if we're going to have four, Rahm and Matsuyama. But yeah, I think Scheffler and Hovland, I can't find holes in at those prices. I think they're good value, really good value.
Lovely stuff. Let's reiterate, Steve. In the Ras Al Khaimah Classic, who are you tipping?
Nikolai Hogar, Julian Brun, Romain Langasque, and George Coetzee.
And in the Phoenix Open?
Victor Hovland and Scottie Scheffler. So must stress, that's six tips. There's only eight doubles. Doubles fans can have some fun this week with only eight doubles.
Yeah, good. Absolutely. Brilliant. Yeah. Okay, then we've only got one tournament next week, I believe, haven't we?
Oh, heartbreaking news yesterday. Yeah. The Indian Open has been postponed again. Yeah, will we ever get another Indian Open at last? We haven't had an Indian Open since March 2019. COVID travel restrictions have caused it. Yeah, very late cancellation again. I really feel for Indian golf fans.
Yeah. So what have we got? We've got the
Genesis Invitation. Got the Genesis. It's a brilliant tournament. Yeah, yeah.
Is it?
All the
big names. Oh, it's Riviera, is it?
Yeah, it's a lovely golf course.
What used to be? It was the LA Open back in the days, I think, wasn't it?
It's had many different guises. But it's a lovely golf course and we always enjoy it. But yeah, it's a shame the Indian Open has fallen by the wayside.
Oh, well, these things were sent to try us, weren't they? And it does look like things are sort of getting, feels like COVID's sort of getting, you know, into the end game, doesn't it? Is that how you sense it?
I do sense that, but I don't feel in party mood because you've got other battles coming in there. Yeah, the cost of living crisis is coming in there, isn't it? You know, everything's going up and, you know, if we feel like a sort of, I feel a pained generation. Yeah, it seems like our generation is suffering more than previous ones. It used to be like,
well, my generation's not your generation.
Well, I suppose I was being a bit kind there, wasn't I? Yeah,
you were. Yeah. Very appreciate it, mate. But sadly, I'm the next generation up. But yeah, I get you. But let's not drag the mood of the broadcast down.
I don't want to drag the mood down, but I just want people to know we understand what's happening out there. Yeah, we're throwing betting advice around and people are struggling to pay the blimmin' gas bills. You know, let's be aware of this. You know, I just think quality of life is for the first time ever going the other way, isn't it? It used to be every generation had a better life than the last. And I just think, you know, my generation's suffering and I'll just worry about my children. Yeah, sorry, I'm going to bring the mood right now.
That's all right. I'm sure that when people are struggling to pay the bills or, you know, having to scrimp and save, they'll take great comfort from the fact that those two idiots on the sweet spot are aware of their plight. you are right, Steve. You're right. Let's hope everything turns out okay.
I apologize for bringing the mood down. Should we end on a high by? Why don't we end on a high by putting our hoodies up? That'd be quite funny, wouldn't it?
Not really,
because we both got the same ones, and it's remarkable scenes that we've both got the same one. Look at that! What a pair of plonkers
we are, aren't we?
You look like the fella out of Star Wars now. The
mine's a bit like a sort of monk. Obi-Wan. Quite a wide sort of aperture here, isn't it? Whereas yours is a bit slimmer. Yeah, I'm a bit Joe. I'm going to put mine back down.
Yeah, mine.
Right, Steve. Well done. Anything exciting lined up between now and next week?
I don't think so. No, hibernating with my dressing gown on in the dark. You know, cost of living crisis.
Righty ho, misery guts. Good luck with the tips this week. Thank you very much for watching The Sweet Spot. Good luck with your bets. Don't bet with money that you can't afford to lose. And do join us next week for another Sweet Spot.